Seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, it's such a pleasure to be able to come before you, look into your word, and Lord, praise your holy name. And God, we just thank you for that. We thank you that you manifest yourself through your people, through your church, and God, we praise you and honor you. That your way to impact the world is through your church. And so we thank you for that. We stand strong on your word. And Lord, continue or open up for you to speak to us and give us the direction we need in everything we do here. Lord, I pray you just open up the word to us this morning. And I pray you'd be our teacher. Lord, I pray you'd anoint me. I just speak things of the Spirit. And I pray each heart would be open to receive from your word, Lord, and have an impact of your goodness and glory and be able to have confidence in you as we live out our lives on this earth. So we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in the book of Romans. Open up to Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. You know anything specific about those verses? Those are the last three verses in Romans. Anybody going to applaud or anything? It's the last three verses, 6.5 months. 6.5 months we've been in Romans. And right now we're going to look at the last three verses. Romans 16, verses 25 through 27. Now as I read this, just keep in mind, this is the last thing that Apostle Paul has to say in this incredible book. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, so here we are as we close out this book. What we see is that based on everything we've learned in Romans chapter 1 through 16, we have come to this conclusion, right? God is able. That was the conclusion, is God is able. And so, you know, we can come to know the Lord and know the Lord, just accept him as our Savior and say, oh, God is able, and go out. But no, when you go through, and that's true, but as you go through the unfolding revelation, the systematic teaching of Paul, the point of it is we understand the fullness of who God is and the message, and we go, God is able. God is able. And Bible shows us nothing is impossible for God. And therefore, since nothing is impossible with God, we need to engage in his program. In his program. And what is his program? It's chapters 1 through 16. It's chapters 1 through 16. And so we are victors. We are powerful. We are an avenue for God in this world. Whatever we face, God is able to strengthen us to overcome every obstacle. And Paul's got, so here we are, just equipped to hit the world head on. And also, Paul says this was his gospel, but Paul's gospel was in accordance with everything that Jesus said. There's no, you know, inconsistencies. In fact, let's look at 2 Timothy right quick. 2 Timothy 2:8. And the Apostle Paul says here, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Okay. Now, what happened here, and it's good to know this and understand, is you have the Old Testament and the revelation of who God is in the Old Testament, and then you have the New Testament written by the apostles. And so we see this as a fulfillment of the Old Testament. So God opened up the hidden things of Scripture to Paul. Because there were things hidden in the Scripture. And God opened up these hidden things of Scripture to Paul, just as Christ opened up the scripture to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember what the disciples said? Like, didn't our heart burn within us as he opened up the scriptures? Well, what Paul, he opened up the scriptures through the Apostle Paul. And so Paul is speaking to us of the fullness of the revelation of Jesus as he opened up the scriptures. Look, if you will, at Galatians 1:12. Galatians 1:12. This is what Paul said. For I did not receive it from any man, this unfolding revelation. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So here you have this culminating, this unfolding, and you see this unfolding come from the Old Testament and into the apostles, in which we have the New Testament. So the two are absolutely tied together. You can't separate the Old and the New Testament. Now, what we have here, and we in the book of Romans, Paul and Jesus, both of them, revealed the mystery of God's eternal plan that was kept secret for long ages. Now we have the full revelation of that eternal mystery. You can see we're, coming up to where we are now. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. It says this. Paul says, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. Now, what's important here, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this, and, well, what is the mystery that God is talking about in the New Testament? What is the mystery he's proclaiming? It's Christ. The mystery is Christ. See, that's what the Old Testament is claiming, a Messiah, but they couldn't get it all together, and that mystery was Christ. And Jesus came and revealed himself, proclaimed, that he is the Christ, and then what he did to the apostles is he revealed the fullness out of the Old Testament. It was written down. They just didn't understand it. So he revealed it to them, and so we see the same thing coming through Paul and Christ revealing the mystery of Christ. Now, so we're all coming to the culmination of this book and what God has for us. Now, so as we look at it, and we're at the end of Romans, okay, so we have a different view, right? I hope you said right. Say right. Make me feel good. Say right, okay. So you have a totally different view than you did chapter 1. Chapter 16, you have a whole different view of Christianity. And so we have this mystery revealed. So the mystery was something we weren't sure about. We couldn't figure it out, but now we understand. Now we understand this mystery. Now, the mystery revealed was the unfolding revelation of Christ and the redemption of man. Now, you really ought to write that down or remember it or put it in a notepad or something, because it's like, what is God's doing? What's God doing? What is God's plan and all this stuff? What does God want me to do? And like, well, what he revealed, his mystery, what he proclaimed to us, to the church, to the world, is the unfolding revelation of Christ and the redemption of man. That is what God did. What's my next job? Okay, whatever, we can pray about that. But the mystery is like, no, Christ, the revelation that Christ and who he is and that man is redeemed, that's what God did. That's the primary thing God did. And if we get off of that, we're just off on everything. We're off on everything, all right? Off on our prayers, off on our life, off on what we think about. Now, and here's another thing. Now, this is almost a duplicate, but the purpose of the Bible. Have you ever thought, what is the purpose of the Bible? Why do you write the Bible? The purpose of the Bible. The purpose of the Bible is to reveal the unfolding revelation of Christ and the redemption of man. That's why we have a Bible, period. Well, it's good literature. Well, good, God writes well, so I guess it is good literature, all right? But that's not its purpose. Oh, it's a good historical book, has some interesting history. Well, that's true, because this stuff actually happened, but that's not its purpose. That's not its purpose. The purpose was the revealing of Jesus Christ. That's its purpose, and the redemption of man. That's the only reason we have the Bible. Amen? And so we need to be reading the Bible because it brings us to the full understanding of Jesus Christ and the redemption of man. That's the whole purpose. You want to write that down? The unfolding revelation of Jesus Christ and the redemption of man. That's God's purpose. That is the reason we have the Bible. Period. All the rest of it's fluff. Okay? It is. It's just fluff. Good literature. Okay, it's fluff. All right. But it is good literature, you know. Now, so as we think about that, as Paul's closing out Romans here, the Apostle Paul fully discloses the mystery of God in Romans chapter 1 through 6. So what he did, the Apostle Paul, who knew the Scriptures well, had them memorized, then he had specific revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ to understand the things that he intended him to understand, just like Christ explained the Scriptures, opened the Scriptures to the two going to Emmaus. I often thought about, I wonder how God, how Christ revealed that to him. Wouldn't you like to have been watching, you know? It's like, okay, Paul, and I just had, in my, this is my mind. It's like he's reading an Old Testament, and Jesus, okay, read this passage, Paul. You say, okay, you see it? That's me. Okay, read this passage. That's me. Read this passage. That's me. Read this here. That's me. That's what he revealed. Paul had the rest of it. What he missed was Jesus. But it was all in the Old Testament. And so what we have here, what Paul does, and he tells us, he discloses to us the mystery that Jesus said. It's just like he said, look what Jesus told me. You know, look what Jesus told me. See, and so he's telling us that in chapters 1 through 16, specifically chapters 1 through 8. It's revealed. So Paul is revealing what Jesus told him based on the Scriptures. Now, in our verses, last three verses this morning, we see in Romans 16, 26, it says this, the mystery of Christ has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations. You know, I mean, the apostle, man, I have let the cat out of the bag. Okay, this is it. This is what's happening. All right, this is what's happening. And that's what he told everyone. This is the truth. This is the truth. So here we are, you know. Well, I'm not. Wait a minute. You got it. You got Romans 1 through 6. No, you got it. I'm going to go back to my old accounting teacher. Okay? We finished the book. Intermediate accounting. 2 semesters. And he stood up and he goes, now you know everything I do. And I don't think so. But this is what Paul's saying. Paul is telling, now you know everything I do. That's what he is saying right here. You know everything I do. Now you need to share this mystery because it's a mystery to everybody else, but not to you. You know full well. And as my other friend Bill Wright would say in his loving way, now you are accountable. It's like, oh God, now you're accountable. You know. See, you're going to stand before heaven and say, God, I didn't know. He goes, yeah, you do. Wallace told you. No, he won't say that. He'll say, Paul told you. Yeah, you did. Now, so we take this in, this whole, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. As we look at this unbelievable revelation, and you know what revelation means? It is revealed from God. We didn't know it until God showed us. It's revelation. you know. And so God spoke to us. And so we have this revelation. Now, and what's also interesting, just a side note here, from the beginning in the Old Testament, the prophets who spoke and prophesied these truths, they didn't have a full understanding of what it meant. In fact, in some place you'll see they'll prophesy and they'll say, okay, God, what do you mean by that? You know, so they would write down, but they weren't sure what it meant, but they knew God said it. So the Old Testament prophets did not have a full understanding of what the prophecies mean that they spoke. They spoke something in which they didn't have full understanding. They just knew God said it. Very interesting. Not only that, and because of that, they would diligently search the scriptures, inquiring of the mystery of God's plan. They would study their own scripture. There's an interesting verse that I think is really interesting in Daniel. And Daniel had all these prophecies. But there's one place where he said he was reading the book of Jeremiah where it said, you'll return in 70 years. He goes, we're going to go back in 70 years. Daniel was reading the scriptures. He didn't know that until he read it in the scriptures. Now, God gave him revelation, but that one came from reading Jeremiah. See, so what you have, these guys don't fully understand what's happening, but they understand that God's telling them. And then they had searched the scriptures to try to understand what God was saying. They searched the scriptures, and they were inquiring about the mystery of God's plan. Now, I think this is fascinating. Even the angels did not fully understand God's plan. God didn't even tell them. They didn't understand. Not only that they didn't understand, they were fascinated as they watched the unfolding of the revelation of Christ and the redemption of man. They were fascinating at what they saw. Because they're angels with God. They have a home in heaven. Okay? But they didn't understand the redemption of man and the revelation. They didn't understand it. See? And so how they understood it is they watched us. They watched us. I mean, I don't know. Gabriel talked to him. Can you believe that? Look what happened to him. Can you believe he saved Wallace? Let's go figure, man. How did that happen? You know, they're watching with fascination about what God is doing. That's what the angels are doing. I kind of highlighted this on the overhead, but I'll read the whole thing. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Listen to what Peter says. Concerning this salvation, so you know what he's talking about, right? Concerning this salvation, he focuses in, you know, we're talking about the salvation, Lord Jesus Christ, and the redemption of man. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicated when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. What is all this? They couldn't put it together. They couldn't put it together. But it was in the scriptures. Verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. This isn't about you. They were not serving themselves, but you. They were serving us. In things that have now been announced to you. They didn't know God announced it to us. They just knew that, no, this is for somebody after us. So he announced it to us. Announced to us through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So who pronounced to us? Paul, Peter, John, Luke, Mark, Matthew, James. They're the ones who preach the good news to us by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. He revealed Jesus and revealed it to the apostles. We have insight how he did it with Paul, and we have insight how he did it with those going to the road to Emmaus. See? So we have this. The prophets didn't understand, okay, what they were writing. But it's revealed to us. We understand. We understand. Now, the last part of that verse says, you know, the good news is preached to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Things in which angels long to look. Now, literally, what this term means, and I don't know why they don't write it like this, because this is literally what it means. It means the angels stoop over to observe. Can you just picture that in heaven? They're just stooping over. Look at you. Won't believe this. Look. See, they stoop over to observe. To observe. Now, and when you look up the language and how the Greek unfolds on this, it implies a willingness to exert or inconvenience oneself to obtain a better perspective. What's that? They put some force, some effort. Hey, you won't go to the ball game? No, I'm watching this. You won't believe this. You won't, no, they're paying attention. They're exerting some effort. Like, you won't believe what's happening over here. See? And also, in the meaning of the verb there, it means a continuous regard rather than a quick look. They are totally fascinated with us. They are totally, they just look at, I mean, look at this. You know? And I'm sure they're looking at God. He goes, what are you thinking? You know, they're intently watching us. Watching us. Now, and so you see this picture of this revelation that the prophets didn't understand and the angels didn't understand. They didn't know. They didn't know. But it's all in Scripture. But they couldn't decipher it, the whole thing. They couldn't decipher it. So what the angels and the prophets sought to understand, God has revealed to us, which Paul has summarized in chapter 1 through 16. Now, I hope it drives home the point. It's like, gosh, the prophets wanted to know. The angels are looking on. It's a mystery of God. I'm giving it to you. We should be interested. We should be interested. Yeah, it's like, gosh, that, Romans 1 through 6, get a pain to read. Give me a Nancy Drew. Good grief. This, I mean, oh, man, good mystery, something. Like, what are you talking? No, you have the full revelation of God himself. The angels didn't know, the prophets didn't know, and the prophets are angels, and there's places in Scripture, they're like, holy cow, they're rejoicing in this. This is amazing. But what are the recipients of it doing? We should be as excited as that, because we're the recipients of this. Yeah? And we have the full revelation. We have the full understanding. And summarized, we have the full understanding in the book of Romans. Now, why do I say that? Because book of Romans is a systematic theology, a systematic unfolding of the whole picture. See, the other letters, like you go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians was a letter of correction. What do you do when you book a correction? You go, what are you guys doing? Look, it's not what I meant. This is what I meant. See, it's not unfolding, you know, systematic theology. I mean, it's theology, it's good, as you should do it. But he wrote the letter because they were messing up. We're messing up. And then he writes 2 Corinthians so Paul has to tell what's going on with him and how to live this stuff out. And you got to understand what's happening. And they, you know, Paul says, man, they're going through stuff. And Paul goes, he said, you think you're going through stuff? I'm going through this stuff. And I wanted to take my life. See, so he tells them, no, you come on, you can do this. 2 Corinthians, not systematic theology. It's good information, and it is divine information. But it supplements Romans 1 through 16. And you go on, hey. And you go through every Bible, every book of the Bible just like that. Those letters were written to specific churches because of specific issues they were going through. Paul didn't sit down. I'm just going to write theology. Send it to what's-his-face. You know, that's not what he did. It's like, okay, we got to fix this situation. He wrote it to the church to fix the situation. That's what he did. And in Romans, what people believe is that there wasn't actually a church in Rome. They weren't pastors, they weren't elders. You know, he never mentions pastors or elders or anything in Romans. So you had all these people come to know the Lord, and they're just shouting victory, you know, going all over Rome, you know. But then had pastors and elders, had some teachers. He said, okay, I'm going to give you the whole ball of wax here, and here's a systematic theology so you can understand how everything works together. Their need was systematic theology. See what I'm saying? And so here it is. So what you have in Romans is the full picture of the mystery of God's plan. What is God doing? Read Romans. You know, some people, this is off the cuff. You know, when I go over my messages, I'm done in 30 minutes. When I preach them, it's like 45 or 50. I just get off, you know, telling stories. But it's like people say, well, the Bible, you know, it's telling, I want to know everything about Jesus' return and, you know, when he's coming back and what's going to happen in the tribulation. And, you know, so you want to study about that. Well, I mean, that's interesting. But now my theology is this, you know, we're going to get to a point and God's going to say, I'm done. And so he's going to take his church out. So we're not going to be here. Why are we worried about it? We're not going to be here. The ones that stay are to worry about it. I mean, if I'm staying, I'm going to worry about it. You know, I'm going to go check in the living room. Linda, you here? I mean, I'm really upset. Take her and don't take me. You know, it's like, oh, Lord, you know. I knew I should have listened to her. She told me. He was like, but anyway, but see what I'm saying? It's like, well, the end of times, and we're all wrapped up in that. But if my theology is correct, we're not going to see the end of time. We're gone. You know what the end of times is? It's the wrath of God. And God doesn't pour out his wrath on his people. So he takes them. He takes them. And how does he take them? He says, in a twinkling of an eye, just gone. You're just gone. See? And then that initiates the wrath of God. And all the things in the book of Revelation won't be here. See? So what we will be here for is Romans chapter 1 through 16. We're going to be here for that. And so God says, you know, you got everything you need. You have all the information you need, and you need to pay attention to what it says. And so it helps, again, you see, it helps us get a balance, you know. It's a balance, you know. Like you can read the things in Revelation, most of it, and what I feel like I can say is, thank, praise Jesus, I won't be here, you know. And it kind of gives me a little motivation, you know, for my loved ones. It's, and you won't be here either. You won't be here either. See? But for Romans chapter 1 through 16, no, we'll be here. We're here. And we know God is able. God is able. And that's what we're going to look at. And so, when we look at this, at this point, in Romans, it says, all this, and these verses tell us, all this came about by the command of God. God commanded it. That's what these verses say. With the ultimate purpose was to bring the obedience through faith. Purpose of Romans 1 through 16. That you know how to bring about obedience through faith. And everything is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Okay, now, little detour here. Little detour. The problem with the world is it does not know Christ. That's the problem. Is we're trying to fix the world and do our deal, whatever that is. The problem is they do not know Christ. I mean, we can do this, that, and the other. It's going to change nothing, because nothing changes until they know Christ. We need to realize that. And we know that package because of Romans 1 through 16. Okay. So we know the problem with the world. This is the problem with the world. It doesn't know Christ. The problem with the nations, they don't know Christ. The problem with Loudoun County School Board is they don't know Christ. They don't. I mean, and I think everybody should go up and say, what you're doing is like crazy, you know, and just let them all know and, you know, and vote and do all the things you ought to do. But you're not going to solve the problem. Their problem is they don't know Christ. That's the issue. That's the issue. And so it's like, okay, God, based on that, how do you want me to present myself? What do you want me to say? All right? And it's very interesting also in Revelations that I think that is, and this is my theology, I think is substantiated by verses, that this presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the church holds back Satan and his evil. Our presence holds back Satan and his evil. See? And when the tribulation comes, God takes out what is holding back Satan and his evil. The Holy Spirit. And who goes with the Holy Spirit? The church. Let me reverse it. God takes out the church. He takes out the Holy Spirit. Nothing is restraining evil. But in our daily day lives, wherever we are, we're restraining evil by our presence. By our presence, we're restraining evil. You see? So God goes, he gives us the full understanding, chapters 1 through 16, how to walk through and engage within God's program, in God's program, and we want to understand that, and so that we can live out our lives in this world with a purpose, and see what the problem is. See what the problem is. Amen? That's it. Now, accepting Christ, and this, I know this is, this is some kind of hard to grasp sometimes. No, it has to be more than this. But the Bible doesn't tell us anything that's more than this. Accepting Christ is the beginning of wisdom and morality. Christ is the beginning of wisdom and morality. And otherwise, why not? You know? Why not? It's the beginning of wisdom and morality. Now, we're going to jump to the last verse in this section. And this last verse, Romans, clearly says this, and he ends it. And he ends it with this. So this is the last verse he's ending all of Romans. He said everything he could say, if you will. To the only wise God. Okay? How many gods? To the only God who's wise? The only God. To the only wise God. That kind of narrows it down. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Because that's what I revealed in the scriptures. And that is the mystery, is Jesus Christ and the redemption of man. And he ends it with, amen. What does amen mean? It shall be. Shall be. Amen. Okay, so we want to grasp this. Like the life-changing wisdom only comes through the only wise God. There's a lot of wisdom, human wisdom, you know, but the life-changing wisdom only comes from God. Only comes from God. Look at Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They're going to have a big meeting at the United Nations, and they're going to come together and decide something that'll affect the whole world. Wisdom. All the brains of the world, you know. What's going to happen? It's going to be an absolute disaster. Why? Because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's where wisdom starts. If you don't have that, you can't get wisdom that will turn out the way things God wants it to turn out. Congress will meet. Now, how many think when the Congress meets, they're going to get wisdom? I mean, right now, we know that ain't happening, period. I mean, I don't even have to explain that. In fact, I think lost people say, nothing happened when these guys get together. I mean, nobody believes it. Well, what is this issue? Why don't they have wisdom? Because wisdom is the fear of the Lord. They don't have the, that's their issue. There's just no fear of the Lord, see. So you have this. So what's important about this is that we need to understand what is going on, and we shouldn't be surprised. And again, this is, and I just look to God and say, God, that's the silliest plan I ever heard of. I mean, it's just, to me, it doesn't make sense. I'm like the angels up looking down. What are you thinking, Lord? But see, because God's plan to proclaim his wisdom is the church. God's plan is the church. Now, that is one reason, at least I did show some righteous indignation when our dear governor said the church is irrelevant. I mean, wait a minute. No, that's not what God said. God says the church is the source of wisdom. So our governor made decisions, and the others, I'm not just picking on him, without the fear of the Lord. You don't have a fear of the Lord when you say the church is irrelevant. You do not. You do not. Remember what Jesus said to Paul when he struck him down and Paul was persecuting the church? You remember what he said to Paul? Paul's persecuting the church. Jesus struck him down with blindness and stood there, and he goes, why are you persecuting me? Well, who was Paul persecuting? Jesus said it was him, because the church is him. Our governor said Jesus is irrelevant. Why? Because he said the church is irrelevant, non-essential. When he said the church is non-essential, he said Jesus was non-essential. Now, I noticed that. I think Jesus noticed that. I mean, I do. I mean, it's like, okay. So, if they're making all these decisions, they're making these decisions without the fear of the Lord. It's not based on wisdom. It's not wisdom. So, again, the reason I'm just saying it is for us, this is for us to know. This is for us to know and how to walk through this world and why we can not expect tremendous wisdom or protection or good on our behalf from people who do not know Christ. They have wisdom. They don't have God's wisdom. They don't have God's wisdom. And they don't understand where God's wisdom is. So, but where are we? Okay? Enough about them. Where's them? Turn to 1 Corinthians. Actually, turn here if you can. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 7. I kind of highlight some things on the overhead because I can't get them all on. But 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 7. So, as we finish Romans, we can say we have the wisdom of God. I'm going to hear an amen for this. See? Because we're so smart? No, because we understand Romans 1 through 16. As we finish Romans 1 through 16, see, we have the wisdom of God. Now, we need to grow in it and learn in it, but we have the wisdom of God that all the leaders or most of the leaders don't have. All right? And so that's something for us to really realize. And so here's what Paul says to us, okay, and as he said to the believers in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. I mean, those that don't know Christ, you're going to pay the piper. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, man, they got it together. No, this ain't going to work out. This ain't going to work out. What they're doing is not going to work out here, and definitely not going to work out for eternity. They're doomed. It's always interesting, you reading the scriptures like that, and you say, well, you would never say that to somebody, and, you know, that's kind of really, you know, that's not politically correct, and you hurt their feelings, and, you know, well, that's right. And the funny thing is, you read, Jesus said it all the time. I mean, he would just call it, you know, call it. And so what we have here, the wisdom of this age and the rules of this age are doomed. It's doomed right there. 7, but us, okay? But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. Now stop there. What's the secret and hidden wisdom of God? I'm going to stay here and somebody tells me. What's the secret and hidden wisdom of God? What's the mystery? Jesus. That's the secret wisdom of God, is Jesus and the revelation of man. That's the wisdom. You know, you can talk, somebody come here and says, you know, they've gone to seminary and they've got all these degrees, and they share this wisdom. You know, is this where we go for the wisdom of God? Maybe, maybe not. But it doesn't make any difference what he says. Okay, he's saying what he learned. But the wisdom of God is Jesus and the redemption of man. Period. That's where you start. That's where you start. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. Don't be confused. Well, let's just go search. I'm actually with some people in a group that we need to search out the deepest things of God and the deepest things of the Spirit. And they had all this kind of charismatic voodoo they was doing, you know. And I thought, this doesn't sound right. Well, it didn't sound right because that's not the secret hidden wisdom of God. The secret hidden wisdom of God is Jesus and redemption of man. Now, from that, you know, you learn and grow in lots of things, you know. But we impart the secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages. When did he decree this? Before the ages. Before the ages. Before creation. Before the angels. Before the prophet. He decreed this. See? We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages. Why? Why? For our glory. We are the recipients of everything God did. We are the recipients. We are his glory. And I'm telling you, I read this and I look at it. God, I mean, you must really not be feeling it right now. I mean, if I'm your glory, you know, good grief. Yeah. No, you're my glory. I died for you. See. So you have this whole thing. We impart the secret hidden wisdom of God, which God created before the ages for our glory. And anybody in a religious setting that's looking for some deeper religious meaning, totally off base. Because what he's talking about is the revelation of Christ and the redemption of man. That's the deeper message. That's the deeper plan. And to get the rest of that, we just have to listen to God. Amen? Now, so it's like, wow, we're coming to the end here. Now, so here we are, wrapping this whole thing up in Romans. Wrapping the whole thing up. And here's what we're left with. From this second onward, we should live as sons of God, ambassadors of Christ, with all the authority and power of God who spoke and created the heavens and the earth. Now see, we're going, whoa. But see, that's how he sees us. That's how he sees us. There's, to him, that, no, that, I, you got everything you need to do what you need to do. You know why? Why do you have everything you need to do what you need to do? Why? You got him. you got him. Oh, I wish Jesus was here. Gabriel's going, what? It is. What is this? God, you should have picked somebody else. This doesn't make sense to me. Why are you fool with these people? See, they're watching. They're watching. It's a totally mystery to them. Total mystery. So But God says, he says, we're sons of God, sons and daughters. We're ambassadors for Christ. The Bible says we're that. And we have all the authority and power of God who created the heavens and earth. How did God create the heavens and the earth? Spoke. He just went, I mean, that's a big time power right there. Yeah, just spoke. Oh, God, I wish you'd move. And he said, if you get your act together, I'll just speak. You know, I want to work through you, you know. And he tells me, Wallace, the biggest problem you have is you. You know, and I've had enough. See, I know this from experience because I've had enough times. Like, God, why don't you speak to me? God, speak. And I get words back like, I have. You're not paying attention. You know, it's like, you're more in depth than that. It's like, no, I have. Listen. You know, and I've shared before, like, I worry. I said, God, I'm worried. He goes, why? I mean, I literally had God speak that to me. Why? When God, and it hasn't been often, but when he speaks to me, it's usually it's one word. Like, why? And it's, doesn't that say volumes? I mean, it just says volume. You don't have to, would you like to elaborate, Lord? But so what you see here is we in Romans, in with a powerful understanding, God is able. That's how he ends it. God is able. And he told us, chapters 1 through 16. He told us. He has told us. And this is me speaking, so don't take it with a grain of salt. I think the rest of the books of the Bible, in the New Testament, other than the Gospel, but in the New Testaments are supplements to the book of Romans. I think they're supplements. Book of Romans is systematic theology. Boom. And then there's questions that come out, and those other books supplement Romans. They don't disagree with Romans. They just supplement it, expand on it. You know, it's kind of in 1 Corinthians, like the guy that married his father's, the son that married his father's wife. 1 Corinthians expanded on that. My summary was, you idiot. Anyway, he didn't say it just like that. But he expanded on that. He addressed that. You know, he probably could say. Anyway, he addressed it. All right. It's a supplement to Romans. And we learned some issues from that about church discipline, church issue, and what God requires into the church. But it didn't change anything from the book of Romans. Y'all with me? Just in the point. So you read that, and it's a supplement to that. And again, this lens is where you're not confused. Don't get doctrinally confused. Don't be led astray by charlatans, you know, and things like that. And so this helps one as we go through the scriptures. So we need to face every situation, the obstacle, with confidence and authority. I mean, that's what God said. You got this coming at you. Confidence and authority. Why? Jesus is there. Okay, God. You got to take a breath. Okay, God. Jesus is there. But that's what he's telling us. That's what he is telling us. Amen? Now, I'm going to close here, and this is closing the book of Romans, but I'm going to close it with a verse from Ephesians that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians church in chapter 3. But here we are. Here we are. Before the world, before our situation, before the family situation, before any situation before us, we're standing, and here's the word to us. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work. Where is it at work? Within us. Oh, God, come. I'm doing everything when you're going to. All the power that's within you. That's God's view of us. That's God's view of us. Amen. How about all God's people say amen? Let's plot. Romans is over. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, God, and you do tell us. You have told us, literally, you have told us through the book of Romans, the mystery of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, and all that is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemption of man. You have reconciled mankind to yourself for all eternity through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it is beyond our comprehension. It is beyond our ability to really embrace the depths of it. But Lord, we thank you. And you just thank you that you're working through us to give us the strength to overcome the hurt, the bitterness, the pain, the obstacles before us. And we thank you for that. And that you love us more than we can ever imagine. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.